Blog Talk Radio.
Applause, don't we, Liz?
Oh,
what
my
do you think?
Gosh. Are you talking about after last night? Other things?
Oh, man. It just feels good to hear something, you know, uplifting, celebratory. You know, even if it's canned audience claps, you know, it just sounds good to me. Welcome, people. Welcome to She's Raising Bob Block Talk Radio. Wednesday it is. And
it is.
We're giving a bi-coastal shout-out, darling. We're saying good morning to the West Coast. Hi, Lizzie.
Good morning to the East Coast.
Well, good afternoon to the East Coast. People that actually were drinking all night after what we saw on TV, they might still be sleeping, but it is afternoon. Here it is. It's 1 o'clock.
That's right.
Here. And holy, holy cannoli, just that was something. And, you know, I don't think anything needs any explanation. Anybody who watched the debacle of last night, you know, just doesn't really know what to say, except there was one person there that wanted a debate and one person that wanted a temper tantrum. And that's what we got. That's the best of us, and that's what the world was watching. And I think I was telling you before, Liz, I really hope the rest of the world was asleep last night and they're not watching it today, because I, in my years of watching debates, have never seen any, that is a new low for, I think, mankind. Just, you know, if that's not any wake up call, any red flags that went up last night, and here we are. But it is Wednesday and it's a new day. And, yeah, we are here, and especially after last night, this is a perfect topic that we picked today, Liz. Just fashion, you know, just something that's a little
yes,
light.
Yes, my love, my affair,
yes,
I have
yes,
a love affair
yes.
with fashion. I definitely do. But just to, you know, reiterate what you were saying before we move on, I mean, I know how passionate you are, and it's so inspiring. You're so passionate about politics, and, you know, you're a feminist, and I just, as am I, you know, maybe in more
sure.
subtle ways, but
yeah.
I feel like that was not a debate, and I do feel mm-hmm. like Biden held it together as much as he could. I cannot imagine
yeah.
being on stage
yeah.
with the other person
mm-hmm.
and trying
mm-hmm.
to, you know, get your policy across, and,
yeah.
you know, you're basically watching someone throw a tantrum, and that is not inspirational.
No. I mean, I was watching, I was
crazy.
You know, and the truth is, when, if you've ever been with somebody that goes off like that, and, you know, if you're just like in a weak state, the crazy kind of rubs off on you, and you just like, it brings you, I mean, people can either inspire you to a higher level of behavior or just bring you down to something primal and negative. And it was very easy to go there last night. And I was even saying to John last night, I bet you Michelle and Barack are watching and they're saying, don't take the bait. Don't take the bait. Don't let him do this to you, because this is exactly how it happens. You just like, really, he's hitting him with all these sucker punches and hitting below the belt. And, you know, talking about family members and,
right,
you know,
right.
I can't even help but say, even the mafia leaves the family alone. That's something that's just, it's sacred. You don't have to bring other
you
people,
don't ever
especially
do
somebody's
that.
Family into it. You don't. And it's never been done.
And, you know,
what?
Biden didn't take the bait, right, Lori? He did not talk about his family.
No. And he handled it well. He said, you know something? Your family is here. If I wanted to say something, and of course there's an arsenal of information, he could say so many negative things about his family, but he said, he chose to say, and they're sitting here and they look completely lovely. I don't want to go there. And I said, there you go. That's a gentleman.
Wow.
That
right.
is a gentleman.
Right.
Go ahead. I was cutting you off because passionate. Go ahead.
I thought that was a good point. I bet Michelle and Barack Obama both were just like, coached him and said, do not, you know, he will probably go there. Hopefully not.
Yeah.
Probably will.
Yeah.
You never know because
of course.
And so, you know, if he does, just don't fall into it, which is very hard when someone attacks your family and criticizes your family.
Especially a dead son. You know, see, that's when you're talking about somebody's son who passed. As a parent, doing that to another parent just seems, it's like, you know, there's a mailbox in hell with your name on it. If you could do something like that, it's just a different type of wrong that I hope everybody sees. It's just, you know,
I was thinking about
the oldest president we still have that's around is Carter. And I can't even imagine his reaction to last night. And I'm thinking about, I mean, Barack Obama was around when the mudslinging started. So it started to get nasty. And with George W., it started getting nasty, but it was never this. I'm thinking about Ronald Reagan, whose policies I always disagreed with, would be spinning in his grave. George Bush Sr. spinning in his grave. This never happened. This never happened. So here we are.
Yeah, I have not watched every debate. Most of them I have. Mm-hmm. I find them very, very exciting and inspiring for the most part.
So.
And, you know, when they debate on issues and policies and what their plans are.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Biden didn't even have a chance to get out his plans and policies because there were so many, you know, he was just so criticized. And some of the comebacks were just horrendous.
Most of the comebacks were junior high school, you know, just like, oh, yeah, well, yeah, you're back to you. I'm rubber, you're glue. Whatever you say about me sticks to you. It's just like, come on. That's kind of how it felt.
And the poor moderator had to even, like, try to keep his cool.
And you know something? I'm trying to think of past moderators that I liked. He was very ill-prepared for this, and I don't know why. Mike should have been shut off. That should have been it. If you're not going to listen, if you're going to argue with me, you might get shut off. Now, I'm putting myself in his place. How do you do that to the president of the United States? But, you know, quite frankly, he's not doing anything presidential, and he hasn't. He's acting like a child with a temper tantrum. So what do? You give him time out. You can't make him go to his room, so you just shut him up. And that's what should have been done. And honestly, truthfully, the next moderator, and I don't know who that's going to be, I think that's what has to happen. You shut them, and to be fair, you shut the mic off for both of them. So this way, there's no cutting in, unless there's an open dialogue. I mean, that was just...
Yeah, maybe better idea, because then it becomes like three are yelling at each other.
And it was. At one point, he was arguing with Chris Wallace. It was just, okay, we're wasting time. And that was it. When you think about, we watched an hour and a half of that. That was pretty, that was, you know what? I'm going to say this with the negative tinge to it. That was theater at its worst point. I mean, people were glued because it was like a train wreck. Nobody could imagine this happening. Understood what was happening in front of them, and you didn't realize until you were out of it how bizarre that whole thing was.
Right. So. I went through the comments. I'm always obsessed with the recap almost more than the main event.
And what did you see?
Well, I expected to see more Biden held it together comments, to be honest, which I still believe he did. But for the most part, as much as he could. I thought he looked better than Trump. I mean, just yelling out and not listening and coming back with, you know, really vile comments and, you know, retorts. But at the same time, most people said, I can't believe this is the country I live in.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't say the word on air, you know, a blank, blank show.
You can say it. I have PG-13. You could say it if you want. You could say shit show. Yeah, no, we have
okay.
PG-13. Believe me,
coming out.
No, believe me. I make sure, yeah, because I there were a couple of times that I had to do an R rating because Elite one day just said, you know, she F-bombed, and I'm always worried about myself because generally I used to curse more than her, you know, off the air. So I never expected that to be her. And yeah, so we lifted our rating because I heard from the producers and everything that we can't do that. But we're fine with shit show. That's fine.
Okay. Yeah, they said that. And,
yeah.
You know, so I said, well, why are we not getting into buy-in more? But, you know, you can, I guess, overrule the situation and make it a pure mess. And that's what happened.
Yeah, we got to figure something out for the next one because, truthfully, he's gonna be all over the place again because he doesn't listen to his handlers. And we just have to figure out how to make it because nobody understood anything about anything last night. So no policies were discussed, no new information was given out, no plans for the future were digested. And it honestly, the only good thing that came out of it is you kind of see what's in front of you, and there's an unstable personality there and a narcissistic one, and we don't need that there. We just don't need that, you know, being the example of our country. So,
but I do have one thing to just end it. Do you feel like that is Trump's coping mechanism so he doesn't have to talk about issues and policies that, you know, have not been fulfilled? And, you know, the fact that he has blown off COVID and, you know, not handled it as well as it could have been, maybe got on it at the last minute. I mean, I'm starting to wonder if that's his policy, is just to make it all chaos.
You know, the truth is, I don't think he's that smart. I really don't think so. And I think that this is a man who was so much better off not being in office. Enjoy your life. Enjoy not paying taxes, however deplorable that is. Just live your life. But that narcissistic part of him, he just loves the power. And that's what attracted him to this. The God's honest truth is he doesn't want to work. He just wants to be. He lives for going to areas where he knows he's going to have a platform. He's going for the applause. That's all he wants. And the sad thing is, here was a little boy that either got too much of something and too little of something else. And this is what made him into this man. He started out beautiful. He was, if you ever saw a picture of him when he was younger, quite a cute little boy. What happened?
I know.
And you can't say, well, he was born into privilege. Because so was Roosevelt. You can't just say that corrupts you. It can, but there was something else. So this is what we have. So let's the one thing that Biden did last night, I think that was brilliant, is he spoke to the audience. He looked at the camera, and he said, "This is," and that was brilliant. He looked and said, "This is who you have." He has no plan. What, please vote. And I have a very strong feeling, and I hope I'm right, it's not going to be an issue in November. He's going to be out.
Right.
It's just going to be a matter of getting him out.
Right.
So
and I don't know if you've seen the cover of Time. It's pretty powerful. So.
Oh, I did.
Yeah.
I did.
I'm sure. And so, you know, I loved it when Biden looked to the camera. I thought he's a good looking man talking about, you know, heading into style and fashion. He looked put together.
There you go.
He was ready, you know,
very dapper.
He looked presidential and there is something to be said for that.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought
Trump looked a little disheveled.
Well, he always looks disheveled because, again, he's quite a bit overweight. I'm sure he's considered medically obese at this point.
Yeah.
So you could get the best tailored suits, and there's only so much of a covering that's going to, you know, enhance a figure like that. So, and that's our segue into our little fashion East Coast versus West Coast. Now, my question is, and I think I've asked you this either the last time you were on the show or offline. With this pandemic, I'm trying to think of the styles that are going to happen or not going to happen. Now, with the pandemic, there has been more of a, I want to say this as genteelly as possible, there's been more of an enhancement of body size. So a lot of people during the pandemic, absolutely, either by eating or drinking. There is nobody that I've met that I haven't seen for like 6 months that has not at least gained 10 pounds. So how is this going to affect patterns, material? This has to have some effect on fashion going forward.
Well, that's a very good point, because the fact of the matter is, I think that's when the psychological aspect of fashion comes into play, and you have to kind of, and also just as a person, you know, health, mind, body, spirit, you know, hey, I really love style. I'm not, you know, things are kind of negative right now. I'm a mom, or I'm raising my kids, you know. I want to be a good role model for them and show them that, you know what, we're, no matter what part of the country we live in, yes, I'm in LA, you know, people think, oh, it's easy, sunny LA, you can get out there and exercise. The fact of the matter is you can exercise anywhere. And
absolutely.
Do it for 20 minutes a day. Do it for 30 minutes a day. Not only will your mind benefit, but, you know, believe it or not, even out here, I never had more girlfriends say to me, oh, my gosh, I am gaining weight. I can't believe my pants are tight.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, wow. Really? And, but I've really tried. I've tried so hard. I mean, I've had a lot of sweets, I got to say. I'm not sure if I've gained, you know, weight. But some people lose weight when they're highly stressed. Some people gain weight.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing.
Mm-hmm.
But,
yeah.
And I think once you gain that weight, your love for fashion goes down, because then you start wearing a uniform, whether it's, you know, bigger pants and, you know, I mean, that's the only thing I'll say, you know, or a looser shirt. I want to be very careful here, because I know what we're going through as a country is like something that we've never experienced, but I got to say, I cook dinner late. And so I am at the market late. I have never seen so much alcohol, Lori, in people's baskets.
Yeah, I know.
So, and that would might include possibly myself in my basket. But, you know, we're a very healthy eating family. And the last thing I really want to deal with, or, you know, I would hate to see other women deal with, because I care, is saying, at the end of this thing, oh, I wish I could have handled it better. I could have worked out. I did have that extra time, but we spend it worrying and, you know, ruminating when we could be on a trail. Like, I got up this morning. I did not want to do this with my dog. I got on that hike. I got on that trail. And I just said, I'm going to go up that darn mountain. And if I don't make it, I'll
do
half of it. You know?
Good for you.
So, yes, I do think that, and that's a very good question, by the way, because and then that affects, you know, your style and your confidence and the choices that you pick with fashion. You know, it definitely affects it. So, and plus, but mostly psychologically, you know, you don't go after the fashion choices that you might want to go after, because you think, well, you know, I'm so much more comfortable in these pants because, you know, it doesn't show this and this and this, and then I'll just take it off after the pandemic. But the fact of the matter is we have to learn to deal with the stress that we're having right now, and it's been going on a while, and once things get back to somewhat of a normalcy, then, you know, I think it might sound harsh, but I think you'll be happy that you're also not dealing with, I got to take 15 pounds off.
Yeah, I totally get it. You know, and that's why I'm thinking, because I tend to always wear black. That was always my color. And I don't know if it's just kind of an East Coast post-punk that kind of, you know, went into goth and just stayed with us. But I can't help but think that black has got to, because of this, because of everything that you just mentioned and, you know, the body image problems, that it's not going to make a big comeback. I don't know on your coast. I mean, I'm just saying from the East Coast. I don't know how it's going to pan out there, but I can't imagine it not seasoning the fashion going forward for at least the next two seasons.
See, that's a great point. That's excellent. It's New York is known. The women are known to wear a lot of black and very pulled together.
Yeah.
It's, you know, and the West Coast is known to be beachy and bohemian, and you know that whole vibe of like Anthropology, Free People, ethereal. But the fact of the matter is, I've never seen so much black in my life. Even if it's cute and fancy, posh sweatpants, women are wearing them. That's what we've kind of upgraded to, is stylish sweatpants, you know, which they do have out here, or just black, you know, and it is kind of like the mood and the color. I do not see a lot of color out here, even though every designer right now out there is talking about pops of color, you know, for spring of 2021, and you know, pop the color even for the remainder of winter, which I would love to see and is on my list. But the fact of the matter is, tomorrow's October the 1st.
I know, isn't that crazy?
And October, Lori, and then November, and then you know, and it's also one thing I wanted to bring up. It's extremely warm out here. Like, it's in the 90s today and tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
Yes, we're having like a delay, which happens a lot in regardless of the pandemic. It happens a lot in California in October. Women, black is actually a very popular color in LA in general, but even more so now, and even with the heat now, you know?
Yeah.
So, but, you know, usually it's like winter hits a little, you know, and then a little chill in the air and you think, oh, I'm going to put on my gray turtleneck with my black cute, you know, pants, you know, or skirt with my leggings underneath. And, you know, it's all going to work and I get to wear black even though I'm in L.A. because people expect everything to be a lighter shade, you know, and a looser vibe, which it usually is. But, no one, you know, it's just a black, but in a different way, you know, if that makes sense, you know.
No,
so,
it does, yeah.
In a different shade, I will say. It's more of a mood shade than a stylish shade. But I have been talking to a lot of designers, and they do see, this is an extremely long answer, they do see post-pandemic fashion is pops of color and things coming back, you know, taking the pandemic into effect, they do see it changing. But of course, retail's hurting and fashion is hurting, and they do, this is also what they want to see, what they want to get back, you know, when they go to buyers' markets, they don't want to be buying an all black wardrobe, especially for LA, for the indie designers out here.
You know what I was thinking the other day? I have a friend who's a chiropractor, and he specializes in pregnancy, and he actually adjusts babies, so he has infants coming into the office. And I was saying to him the other day, I said, you know something? I think that your practice has to spike a little bit after this, because I guarantee you the pregnancy rate is going to go up. I think it almost has to. So think about that. It happened during the Depression. People are, you know, and God willing, you're with somebody that you love. You're in lockdown with people. This has to affect his industry. So I'm also thinking it actually has to affect maternity wear, too. So I'm wondering where that's going to be in 2021.
Wow, I had not thought of maternity wear, even though there will be a lot of pregnant women. Thank God it will not be in that group.
those days are gone for me, of course.
I mean, that would not be able to happen, but not over here. But it's funny because they said that bridal is going to fully just break out. You know, I'll just say this really quick, you know, with sequins, I had posted something the other day in tassel earrings, and it's not going to be so traditional, and it's going to be, you know, truly who you are and how you want to express yourself. With maternity wear, I actually see women trying to wear maybe some of their regular clothes until it gets towards the end, you know. I don't see them spending a lot. Usually when you get pregnant, you know, the maternity clothes they have today, you know, Lori, like, are so adorable, and they are. And, you know, they're so stylish, and you can barely tell, you know, are these your clothes, are these maternity clothes? I just see women spending on what they're going to need. And a lot of women can get away with it, you know, with bigger sizes they have in their closet and to the end, you know. And to the end where you're just like, okay, I got to break out and wear, you know, the elastic pants. But they have some great ones at H&M. I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say H&M.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Go right ahead.
Okay.
Sure.
I mean, even Target, just to stay on budget, you know, H&M.
Really?
Target.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah,
where the pants,
I didn't realize
the
that.
Trousers are super in this year, so they could do the trouser route, or they could do even, you know, more of like, you know, the linen pants, where it's like a more generous fit, I would say, you know, like a tie fit almost that you wear in the summer. But trousers are everywhere. We're talking like, you know, checkered trousers, you know, pleated trousers, you know, slouchy trousers. And then I just see that as being one of the biggest, with like a knit top. You can show a little bit of stomach if you want to, you know. I actually love that look, or like a very loose fitting, t-shirt, which I wore the other day, and I got to say, you know, oh, this is going to look really weird. I'm just going to look like one big bag with all this looseness. But, you know, I'm wondering if the looseness kind of stands for just like, can we breathe now?
You know what?
You know?
I think that's a great point. I think that's an absolutely great point. Symbolically, literally, yes. I think you're right.
Because I see looseness everywhere. I think for once the skinny jeans may just come out and take a break. You know, I put on a pair the other day, and I just thought, you know, I just feel constricted and confined, and already I think people already feel constricted and confined enough. So I do see a looseness coming, whether it's trousers and even dresses. They don't want, you know, these super tight wrap dresses. And trust me, that is one of my favorite styles of all time, with Diana von Furstenberg, you know, when she started those wrap dresses.
Oh, yeah.
And I do see a lot of that coming back, maybe in the spring, but definitely not now. And I see a lot of workout gear, and this, I thought about you with this, because they say they want it to be fashionable, but functional, you know, like, you could go to the market after. You don't look like you just robbed a bank or something, you know. Which is how I usually look when I enter Vaughn's, trust me. You know, I'm running in there, and then I come home, and my kids are just like, where have you been? And I said, well, we didn't work out, and then I just went to the market, and, you know, looking great and fashionable here. And they're like, Mom, come on. We know you have those Lulu. And you know what? If you want to buy a pair of Lululemons right now, and it allows you to run errands half the day, just buy them. I know that sounds kind of weird, but nothing looks better than a pair of, you know, just a good pair of workout pants that you feel good in. They don't have to be slouchy. We all, also the sweatpants are very slouchy right now. So, you know, I wanted to ask you, because you work out a lot. You take care of yourself very well. Do you have a certain uniform when you work out?
You know what? When I work out, I just really just have, you know, shorts and a tank top. That's really it.
I don't wear them
when I go outside. But that's it. It's just I have certain workout clothes. And don't forget, I have a gym in my house. So I never go out. I never have to worry. I just throw on a tank top and that's it. So I'm not making a fashion statement when I'm out there because it's just me and my cats. That's it. And John is sleeping when I'm working out. So nobody really cares how I look. But you know what? You make a very good point. Now that gyms are opening, I'm wondering what that is going to look like. Again, people walking in with a different body type than they probably when they were there last, which was 7 months ago. Same with restaurants. You know, people
right.
are, you know, walking in looking very different. I find this fascinating because you don't know. I mean, these are such long branches. You don't know what's being affected until you start talking to people. I have a friend who's an image consultant, and he's, you know, one of these people that gets thousands and thousands of dollars per session to dress people for meetings. Now there's no meetings.
Oh. Wow.
So what do you do? What do you do? I mean, if people are making a presentation, it's on Zoom. So basically you could have half of your body showing and you could wear loungewear on the lower half. So what do you do when there's no, you know, again, when I've done pitching, when I've done public speaking, when I've gone to, you know, push my company forward, you dress a certain way, I have some nice suits and I go out. But what do you do when that's no longer something you need to do because that's not happening in face-to-face?
Right.
So that's another area I'm wondering what's going to happen.
With the Zoom or working out?
No, with all these people that were image consultants, all these people that would make their living.
No, I know.
Having people go out and buy $3,000 suits and, you know, prepping them and brand polishing and all of that. And now nobody really sees you. Everything is done on Zoom. I mean, you watch TV. I mean, the newscasters are in their living rooms and, you know, hopefully nobody's going back and forth, you know, as they're on camera. And it's just a very, very, very different dynamic, you know, fashion-wise, too. It's just crazy.
It is a very, very different dynamic. And, you know, with the Zoom, I mean, you know, technically to save money, you could run over to the, you know, the thrift store and just get some decent blouses. No, again, mm-hmm. you know, make sure your hair and makeup are done. But
yeah.
no one is
yeah.
going to see from the waist down. And I still dress, if I'm on a Zoom, the full way, which, you know, my family thinks is
that's
hilarious.
Right. No.
Because they're like,
no,
you know.
No,
and I
exactly
said it does
right.
something
no.
for my mind, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The
mm-hmm.
image consultants, I would imagine, it's a little bit tough right now with no events, no red carpets out here,
nope.
you know, in
nope.
the, and in New York, you know, because there are women, you know, and men that have the money to hire them and
mm-hmm.
stylists.
Of course.
And,
oh,
you
yeah.
know, everyone's trying to save right now. I know a lot of people in the photo industry, a lot of times, you know, stylists aren't even called right now. You know, maybe a friend
no.
who's, like, good with fashion just to do, you know, to help out.
Yeah.
So that's another good point. And, I, you know, those when just saying image consultant, I love that, you know, because there are so many people that are so great at that and they can see like their girlfriend or their best friend in something, you
yeah.
know, like this isn't
yeah.
for me, but this would be fabulous, you know, for Nancy or whoever.
That's a talent. That's an art. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
It is. And some people can just envision it and envision the person in it. Like it is not for me. In fact, I gave my woman, okay. My
that's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. Okay. I have stories on that too. My woman. Oh my God, Lord. I'm sorry. My girlfriend is totally opposite than me. You know, our styles are different. Mm-hmm. We both love style. She's more of a corporate, but in a definitely a corporate woman, but in a creative field. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm shorter than she is. I just gave her my jumpsuit and it was hard to give it over. Got the
mm-hmm.
height for it, you know, but it will work for her for Zooms. It's got a beautiful top. It will work. She's going into
mm-hmm.
the office now. It will work for the office. And jumpsuits are extremely popular because, again, it can be a loose fit. I'm not talking about like a tight fitting, you know, sachet jumpsuit,
right.
But you know, where you can see the silhouette, you're professional, but you're still kind of casual at the same time. And, you know, it is an artistry because I thought, you know, wow, this would be great on Nancy. Do I really want it? It never fit me the way I wanted it to fit me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm not a corporate woman. So, you know, I thought, I don't want this to sit in my closet. And then next thing I know, she's delivering a bag of bohemian clothes to me.
Oh, wow. That's perfect. That's perfect. But no, getting back to the point. Now, why? I mean, if you can put things together like that, and again, I always make a joke. I'm a well-dressed biker chick. I mean, when I have to be corporate, I can be corporate. But when it's my downtime, I always say my fashion is my jeans, my tats, and perfume. That's it. I'm not really thinking about anything beyond that. But you could see putting somebody in something, because obviously you were saying you saw her in a certain thing. How come you never thought about going into fashion image consulting?
Oh my goodness, that's a good question. I don't know. I guess my fallback, like I always wrote, you know, even I wrote back in the day about architecture and design, and I still see that as a form of beautiful style and artistry. And then I love art, and I love the whole fusion lately of art and fashion that they're trying to build. So I always fall back on writing. But image consulting is something, you know, I would not have mind getting into, or even, you know, like owning a boutique, because I love summing people up and saying, oh, I see you here, I see you here, I see you here. But I've always stuck with writing. And then when I started the magazine, I feel like a little bit over my head right now trying to produce these articles. But unfortunately, just at a, you know, maybe a year ago, I was thinking about making that switch, and then COVID hit, and I've had three image consultants that I knew. I got their emails saying they're going to, you know, basically sell what they have on their rack, you know, whether it's they work for, you know, Cabby, that company, Lori, C-A-B-I.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I do know,
So, you know, selling their the remainder of what they have, and also to see certain indie designers out here that do own boutiques, or even if it's out of their house, you know, close shop for a while, has been hard to see. You know, they plan to go back to it, but that has been difficult as well. So I definitely don't think the time for that is now, because I feel like people, women right now are just dealing with, how do I dress? You know?
Yeah.
And if you have the money, you can call in one, but I just don't see it picking up until events start happening again.
I totally agree. That's not an industry for, you know, anybody but somebody who has disposable income. That's really it. So that's not the economy right now. And, you know, you look at Broadway, I've been saying, and I can't speak for the West Coast, but until we can't say we're economically sound until Broadway comes back, until the Met is open, because we have restaurants that rely on that, actors, stagehands. We can't say that we're a thriving economy until that comes back. And I got to be honest, I don't see when it's going to come back. I really don't. Not till mid next year. I think
you
that's
feel
a conservative
that way?
Statement. Yeah, you know, my main business, it's funny, I was discussing this with my assistant a couple of nights ago. I usually deal with the Rockettes. The Rockettes come in usually about this time of year, and they get ready for the Christmas extravaganza, and we prep them for the parade and blah, 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 and they're not coming in. So that's another thing. And Radio City made millions of dollars just through Thanksgiving and January 6th, which was when the show closed. Millions upon millions. That's not happening. Broadway alone, from a period of November to March, made $90 million. That's not going to happen.
Wow.
So now forget about the parasitic, you know, relationship the restaurants have with them and everybody else. I mean, the actors that go to plays and go sees usually support themselves in restaurants. So nobody's working. So you have real estate that's, in Broadway terms, dark. So I don't see how it's going to come back anytime soon, let alone hopefully next year by this time, but who knows? And I'm an optimist, but you know, the reality of it is
very
just,
positive.
Yeah. It's just a matter of, good.
Oh, no. I'm going off topic. I was just thinking about your punk style, just to let you know, on the trend list, Lori, are combat boots, because you do have a punk edge to you. No, don't laugh.
I know.
What?
I know.
I'm getting
I never
a pair.
A friend of mine bought me, I think it was my 45th birthday, a pair of Harley Davidson boots that I maybe wore a couple of times. I think I gave it to my goddaughter. She loved them. But yeah, I mean, I've never worn combat boots. But you know, at 58, maybe I'll rock them a little bit. Who knows?
You could rock them.
Who knows
them,
what could happen?
You know what? I mean, I'm telling you, boots are take. I don't. I'm not sure. I need to figure this out psychologically, which I like to do. Why are boots making this like splash? They're every type of boot, knee high, as well as, you know, lace-ups, Doc Martens. Well, that had been in during COVID,
a little
bit before COVID, more of a 90s trend. Animal print ankle boot, not that crazy about that.
Sure.
Monolith chunky boots, which is kind of almost like, and I need to post that on my Facebook, it's almost like a Japanese style, very chunky at the bottom, maybe a white heel, believe it or not, with a different color. A white heel with a different color boot. And then of course the New York woman over the knee shearling boot. Which is just so classy and sexy. I love how women who pull themselves together in New York look. I think there's nothing more elegant. It's looser out here. You know, New York knows fashion. I will not put down on the West Coast. We have great designers, you know, especially some great indies coming up, but this time isn't helping. And I know you like jeans, patchwork jeans by Tom Ford is coming back. Yes. That is supposed to make a comeback. But then we get into like the couture with the fringe and the fringe mesh
I like
dress.
That. I like that. Yeah, yeah.
I like that too. I like fringe. I really do. And I think I'm going to get something. I always say I'm too conservative for it. And fuzzy cardigans. Mm. Lori, this is what I see you in. I see you in your combat boot. You don't have to do, you can do high or medium or low. And I see you with a fuzzy cardigan, which is like, or a fuzzy denim jacket, which would be really hot. Yeah. Oversized, you can do the oversized button knitted cardigan, or you could, you know, do something more dramatic with like puff sleeves or a textured quilted jacket with your boots, or you could do leather even. I love the look of leather in shearling, and that would be a good look, you know, and it can, you can change your uniform anytime you want.
Cool. This is what I'm saying. I would never have picked that out for me, but you somehow did. So that's what I'm saying. It's like that might be a career that you could walk into, maybe not this year, maybe next year, you know?
But I
that might be a good side gig.
What? Maybe. I'm not feeling it at the moment, but maybe.
I know you're not.
Fuzzy cardigan. When I say that, that came out weird because that's usually like an oversized look. And when I've seen you in your pictures, you know, you have your jeans, you have your boots, but if a cardigan with like a tighter feel to it, but definitely with you know, fall fur or something, you know, not so much the oversized, you know, like Little House on the Prairie cardigan. Well, I don't exactly see you in that, and I don't see myself in that. You know, that's like the oversized button-down knit thing. You know, I like knitted. I talk about knits a lot, but I definitely like them. I like my knits fit, if that makes sense. You know, I like them in a fitted realm. So you can tell. I guess I wanted to get through this list because you can tell designers are dying to come back and, you know, establish certain styles and, like, maybe let's revisit the 90s and go all out there, you know, do a lot of yellows and the whole butter yellows and, you know, bold checkered pants, faux fur coats, cutouts of shirts. I could see you in that. I want to do a cutout shirt. Even though some people have offered to just cut some of my shirts, I'm like, no, that is not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a couture cutout shirt. So I see this as, you know, these designers definitely want to get back on track again, like millions of people do, right, Lori?
Yeah. And, you know, people, you're groping in the dark because nobody knows. I mean, we had a certain finger on the pulse as far as, you know, press, fashion. I mean, we could count on certain things to be available at certain times, and now, you know, we just don't. So, you know, and it's the most creative of us that are going to, you know, inspire others and make people move forward. And, you know, and that's what we have to rely on. And we've done it before. We've done it before. What I want to ask you is, because I'm a huge, huge film noir fan. I love the black and white film. I just love everything about, you know, oh, my God, I would live in black and white if I could. Hats. Are they going to come? Because I was watching something this morning with a hat that I would never wear, but I forgot who, Lisbeth Scott, who's a gorgeous, one of those 50 noirs, gorgeous actress. And the hat that she was wearing, I thought was too big for her head, but somehow she rocked it. Where are hats going to fit into all of this?
Okay, I'm so glad you asked this. You did your research.
You know, I'm also curious about stuff too. So yeah.
I mean, in terms of hats, what came up for me and as well as who I talked to, the designers are saying beanies, but beanies of all different shapes and sizes, whether it's oversized and you kind of push it back and bring your hair down a little bit. You know, a lot of winter and beanies in all different colors, you know, winter white, and that you just stick on. And I thought, because I know a lot of women out here love cowboy hats or fedoras, you know.
I love fedoras,
but I think
yeah,
I love fedoras. I had on one yesterday, but again, it was with the workout gear, so it wasn't working.
It didn't work. I'm sure it looked good.
I mean, you know, when your hair is a mess, sometimes you just got to stick a hat on or a beanie.
Yeah, that's what I've done.
So,
absolutely, yeah.
But they're saying beanies are going to be, and, you know, but I think like elegant beanies. I'm not talking about, you know, in terms of just like sticking on a sports style beanie type of thing. You know, more old movie star look, you know, with the hair kind of coming down and covering maybe one of the eyes. So I think, and I love beanies. They tend to work with my hair very well. Hats, I think there will be a lot of elegant hats. I don't see a lot of cowboy right now because of the season, unless we just skip fashion right back over to spring again, you know, and go more into the fedoras. But I do think there's options, and I do think you can still be fashionable during this time if you just don't go overboard with it to where you look like you're trying so hard. So I guess there is something to be said for fashionable uniforms that we have in our closet, you know, where it's like, I'm going to wear my trousers today and a white T-shirt, obviously I'm not going to put on a pinstripe blazer because let's be real, where am I going? You know, I mean, there are women that are suiting up and suits are very popular right now. They say suits with pops of color. I have not seen that out here. I don't know if you've seen that in New York, but I don't think women are quite ready for neons and yellows and neon pink, you know. And in New York, you know, people work so much, and I'm sure you see tons of people, right, on the subway going to work.
Oh, yeah. Yes, yeah. Well, not as many as we used to, but yeah, absolutely. You know, I have an ignorant question. What is the difference between a beanie and a beret? Is there?
Okay, you know, berets are very, I always
think
about
sexy. I love them.
Berets are very sexy. Men tend to love women in berets. It's, you know, kind of that French vibe and European appeal.
Yeah.
And even when I saw beanies on the list, I thought, well, you know, I'm glad you brought that up. A beret is more of an elegant look. And I see that more, especially if you're going to have on a winter white coat or, you know, things do get to that, you know, or a suit. And you're having maybe you have a bob and a bad hair day, or you have long hair. You can't go wrong with a beret. And I rarely have worn, when I wear one, rarely have I had someone say something like, oh, wow, you look different in that. You usually get a compliment from a beret.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I always
Bonnie
and Clyde. Yeah. Yeah. I think it's a great look. I think it's a great look.
That's why I was wondering,
is there more structure to a beret than a beanie? Because these are terms that I wouldn't be familiar with, but I know a beret has a little bit more of a structure around, I guess, the rim than
a beanie. It fits the head better. It stays in place better, which I do like because, you know, the fact of the matter is with beanies, sometimes they're so big and chunky. The cool thing is, you know, to grunge it out and you like pull it up. It's kind of hard to imagine. And then you pull it back. So like half of it's hanging back. But with a beret, you can just like, you know, place it and it's not so loose. You would look fabulous in a beret. I can see you walking the streets, doesn't that?
I'm trying to picture it. That's like I said, these are things I never think about. But now it's, so I'm getting the visual.
And you don't have to have on something so fancy or formal to wear a beret, you know. You can have your jeans, you know. You can have a leather jacket on with your little fur and your boots. You stick that beret on, it takes the style up 10 degrees. I'm getting excited here, Lori.
No, but you know something? No, I'm having a photo shoot because I think I told you I want more headshots. And I'm prepping my fedoras. What I usually do is put clothespins in the rim so I get like a little bit more of a tight rim and an angle. And I'm thinking maybe I'll get a beret.
Well,
or
what
something
is
like
the
that.
The hat that you're wearing in one of the reels
I'm offline. I'm going to show you my hat rack. I have like 13 fedoras of different. For when we've done recording and everything with my band that with John, I have different color hats for everything. So, but they're usually fedoras.
Okay.
So,
you look fabulous.
Different
that.
Colors.
And then you have the hair curled,
maybe
right?
Yes. And sometimes
I
flick it back in ponytail. Yeah. Like Marlene Dietrich, I like that look.
Yeah, that's a good look. When I wear berets, beanies, or hats, I don't like to wear it with my naturally straight hair, but my hair is going to fall out from all the curls. You know, I have the curling iron going, and I'm talking about my problems, and my son's like, Mom, you're going to burn down the house because the smoke is coming from the curling iron like you wouldn't believe. And I'm like, this hair is getting curled no matter what. And so when I wear my hat and stuff, I like to have some body on my hair. you know?
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. it just works better for me. That's, I meant to say mm-hmm. that earlier when we were talking about hats.
Mm.
But, you know, some of this I agree with, some of it I don't. Believe it or not, I do agree with chunky boots and berets mm. and beanies. You know, I do see a lot of animal prints. I do.
Mm-hmm.
And the patchwork jeans and the patchwork jackets, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's especially
mm-hmm.
and the fuzzy
yeah.
cardigans. So I do. I think mm. that, you know, things will fit a woman's body according to how, where she is, so obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
and
in her figure.
You feel, and you have to feel comfortable. And that's the thing about, you know, it's a psychological effect of fashion. I mean, you have to feel like, you know, it would work with you and it would enhance your look. And there's got to be, you have to see your own reflection in it, because that's really what makes it work. You, the confidence that you have wearing whatever.
Totally.
You
have
you know?
To have that. I put on something that I thought was fabulous the other day. I felt awful. Said, you know
really?
What? Take that as a sign. It's not working.
Mm-hmm.
And I put on something else. Maybe it didn't seem so great, but it worked because I felt great.
Yeah.
You know, you got to
really
feel
it.
Comfortable. You just have to,
yeah.
even if it's a white T-shirt that you tie at the waist, you got to feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly it. There's nothing sexier than confidence. There's nothing. Because you could be wearing jeans and you're just walking out and just, there's just something. And it comes from inward more than anything else.
And you know who has a lot of confidence? They're stylists, believe it or not. I've worked enough photo shoots to know that, and they're not because of what they're wearing. They just,
mm-hmm.
I think they feel comfortable in what they have on,
mm-hmm.
and then that confidence comes out.
Exactly.
You know?
Well,
so
feeling comfortable in your own skin. I mean, I think that's really it. That's what I think we all strive
and being
for.
Authentic to yourself, you know.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, the hour went very quickly.
What? Oh, it's over?
It's over.
Okay.
You
well,
thought we just
thank
started.
Thank you for
yeah.
having me for the fashion.
Oh, my God. You'll be back, darling. Of course, that was, you know, again, it just moved so effortlessly, and before you know it, I'm getting the producer in my ear saying 4 minutes, and so we will wrap
okay.
it up now.
No, that was great.
But
I get very, very amped.
I loved it. I loved it because, again, I'm sitting here listening to you, and my mouth is open because I'm like, oh, I never thought of that. Oh, that's interesting. So that was wonderful having you on the show. And Elizabeth Colossos, Gemma Magazine, a fashion consultant. She's always going to be with us. I love you.
Thank you,
Lori. Here's another one. Wait. That was for me. There you go.
Okay. You know what? I need that. Man or woman. I'll take it.
There you go. Okay. Here we go. Yeah, I did it again. See that? I did it while I was sipping wine. So that's something, isn't that?
Oh, I love that.
So thank you to everybody. And put it in your car. You just save this link and listen to it whenever you need to. And thank you, people, for joining us. People on the West Coast, thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoy this little lovely chat. My East Coast peep, I expect you here, so I'm going to thank you anyway. And everybody listening, just go out and make it a wonderful day. Be kind to each other. Lizzie, I love you. Thank you for joining us and making this
too,
a wonderful.
Thank you.
And have a great day, and everybody be safe. Nina, take us home.